Well, today, as we get into it, we're going to be looking at Exodus chapter 33, verse 18. And Moses, said to God, "Please show me your glory." Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for the fun and the fellowship and just bringing me back home. And even though I miss Amy so much, Lord, it's so good to see all my friends and family here. And Lord, we just thank you for all the blessings, even our very breath that you've given to us today. So Lord, as even Moses cried out, "Show me your glory." Lord, we want to see you more and more today. And so please, help us, help the little kids, help all of us, Lord. Just be attentive to what you have for us this morning. We just love you so much. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, as we see Moses here, and he's crying out to God in Exodus chapter 33 for God to show him his glory, right? Now, we got to understand, this is Moses who's asking this. Moses, the one who God called from the burning bush, right? The one that God used to perform all these miracles, all the plagues and everything in Egypt. Remember that? How about the parting of the Red Sea? Remember that? How about, oh my gosh, I could keep going. He gave the Ten Commandments to, remember? This is Moses, the one whom God spoke to face, the scriptures say, at the tabernacle of meeting, in that cloud that we read about, the presence of the Lord. But here, Moses is asking for more. And yet, even though Moses has experienced all these things with God, he wanted even more. He wanted even more. I would have just liked any one of those things. But Moses wanted more. We're going to talk about this. Many of us have been Christians, I'm sure, for many years. Some of us have. But have we ever really longed for more and more of the Lord in our lives? I'm going to take a breath. Now, I know that we pray for many things. We pray for our church. We pray for the lost. We pray for our brethren. We pray for one another, right? We pray for all kinds of things. We like to pray for ourselves. And then we like to pray for ourselves some more. We're really good about praying for ourselves. And although we pray for a lot of things, how many times do we actually pray what Moses prayed? Lord, show me your glory. How many times do we pray, Lord, I want more and more of you. You see, this is what Moses was asking for. More and more of the Lord. Please reveal yourself to me. More and more, Moses is saying. And the cool thing is that God did, as we would continue to read, and perhaps we'll have time, but he did reveal himself to him. And he will for us too, if this is our heart's desire. Our heart's desire. Our true heart's desire. God will answer that prayer, you see. Now, let me give you a way of analogy here. You know I like to tell stories, right? 2 weeks ago or so, I was on a plane to Hawaii with my wife, Amy. And all the window shades were down. It was kind of that nighttime time in the plane, which is very strange. But there we were, and I'm sitting there, high above the clouds, flying away, just relaxing finally. And all of a sudden, somebody wanted to peek outside, and they lifted up their little window shade, their little airplane window shade thing, right? And I couldn't help to notice this bright light. It caught my eye, and as I looked out, it was the most amazing sunrise I had ever seen in my life. Above the clouds, it's just a different perspective, right? And it was the most amazing sunrise. And as I looked, I couldn't help to grab Amy. Say, Amy, Amy, meet that. Look at this. And I knew it was going to go fast. You know, those sunsets and those sunrises, they go very fast, right? I didn't have a lot of time. And so, Amy, look. And she's like, what? All I see is orange. Orangey. And I'm like, no. You got to look where I'm looking. You have to see from my perspective. Okay? Look. And she kind of leans her chair back. Okay, what? It's just the sunrise. Come on. She leans her chair back. I can't see. I just see orange. There was people in the way. There was a wall. She couldn't see it. So I said, come on, you got to see this. Hurry. Hayako. And she kind of leans over. I can't see. And she gets frustrated and gives up. And I was so sad as I watched it kind of fade up and go away. I was so sad because it was glorious. It wasn't just a regular sunset or sunrise. It was glorious. And I wanted my wife to see it. But she missed it. And I was sad. But as I was sitting there, just kind of sad and wondering, what's the big deal, right? I believe the Lord really started to speak to me. And he started to say, that's kind of what it's like. When we see the glory of the Son, the S-O-N, the Son of God, and we get excited for the things of God, we get excited to be in His presence, we get excited to see God moving, and we want to tell people, right? We want to say, look it, come see, Jesus is here, and He's moving, and He's glorious. And they're like, yeah, whatever. Where? Or even, I don't care. And we get sad. And it really grieves our hearts, right? And so, Amy, you know, she wasn't sad. I was sad. But Amy wasn't sad. Why? She didn't know what she was missing. She had no idea what she missed. To her, it was just another sunset, or sunrise, sorry. And what's the big deal, right? And yeah, perhaps. But like I said, for me, it was amazing. And I could have sat there and just, you know, selfishly, knowing that it was going to go so fast, just sat there and enjoyed it. Say, wow, that's a beautiful sunrise. But it was something within me that immediately said, Amy, right? That's what it's about, folks. Not to keep the glory for ourselves. As much as we want to see the glory, when we do see the glory, our first reaction should be, come see the glory with me, whoever I can see. But the problem is, we can't force people to see it, can we? We can't force them to see the glory of God as much as we want them to see it. And it grieves our hearts when they don't want to see it. We can't force them to see the Lord. That's the hard part. Now, if Amy really, really wanted to see that sunrise, she could have seen it. No problem. All she had to do is unbuckle her seatbelt and climb over the top of me and look. I'm her husband. She could have done that. No problem. Just, okay, you must... Let me see. Whoa, sugoi. Right? She could have done that very easily. No problem. But for some reason, it wasn't that important for her. It meant she had to get out of her comfort zone, right? It meant that she had to be inconvenienced, if you will, to do so. She had to make an extra effort to see the glory of the sun at that moment. Proverbs tells us this. The Lord says, I love those who love me, and those who seek me diligently will find me. It's a promise. And Jeremiah says this, and you will seek me and find me when you search for me with what? All your heart. You see? Not just, but with all your heart. I gotta see. Here's a difference. There's a big difference. And we need to go that extra mile, if you will, sometimes, if we really want to press in and see the glories that God has for us. Now, I'm sure that Amy would have loved to have seen the sunrise. That moment, I'm sure she would have loved to have seen it. And she did make a small little effort, you know, to look. But like I said, it was obvious that it wasn't that important for her. Okay. Now, how many of us really do want to see the glory of God? I'm sure. Even non-believers want to see the glory of God. They'll tell me sometimes, hey, if I only seen God, then I would believe in God, right? We've heard that before. If God's real, then why don't He reveal Himself to me? And then I will believe. So a lot of people would be very blessed to see the glory of God so that they could finally believe. But the question is, are they willing to seek Him? Or is it just on my terms? Okay, God, here I am, Sunday morning, show yourself to me. If you're here, reveal yourself. Okay, Lord, I've made that extra effort to be on time this morning. We say things like that, and we think that's what's going to get us to see the glory, right? Because we've really made that extra effort. Really, sometimes when we don't experience God, if you will, and I didn't feel His presence, you know, the Bible's really clear. We walk by faith, not by sight. But seriously, sometimes we think, that bald guy's boring. Oh, not the bald guy again. He just gets excited, you know? Or, oh man, the worship team. Where was Bonnie today? Oh, you know, it wasn't the same. You know, we didn't have the Karen on bass today. That just wasn't the same today. Or, you know, who's back there? Pastor Dan's interpreting today? Oh, no. Oh, come on. And so it's sometimes very easy to start pointing our fingers. It's hot in here, right? I see people fanning. It's hot. And we have all kinds of excuses why, oh, Lord, I didn't feel you today. I didn't hear from you today. But, you know, when we don't see the glory, we can't point our finger at anybody. We got three more back at us. What are you doing to see the glory? What are you doing? Are you even asking, show me your glory? Have we even asked this morning, Lord, speak to me today? Or is this, oh, gotta go, okay, I'm here. Sing a few songs, okay, greet each other, okay, what's going on here? We get caught up in that, don't we? And here we have a prayer example set before us to desire, to seek after, to even ask, which shamefully, even myself, this lesson, it's for me. I can't give you anything that God hasn't given to me. How many times do I say, Lord, show me your glory? We have not because we ask not. Now, notice here, Deuteronomy says, but from there you will seek the Lord your God, and you will find him if you seek him with all your heart, with all your soul. Oh, what a wonderful verse. But we need to look closely here, real fast. But from there, I don't know what it is, Nihongo. But from there. Now, in context with what this is talking about, it's referring to the place that you will find yourself when you have forsaken the Lord and you are in captivity, which the Lord is talking about here. When the children of Israel forsook the Lord, they found themselves in bondage, in captivity, away from the temple of God, right? Temple wasn't even there anyways. They destroyed it. But so far away from God. And perhaps we're having trouble seeing His glory, feeling His presence. Perhaps we too are in bondage. Oh yeah, we're here. But maybe inside, we're really far away, farther than we realize. Perhaps we're in captivity in a lot of ways from the things of this world that keep us from the Lord. To the church of Ephesus, Pastor Dan's been going through all of this, so a way of reminder. Jesus says to the church, nevertheless, I have this against you, that you have left your first love. We've heard this before. Now, if we can point to a time in our Christian walk that we were actually experiencing more of the Lord, we were more devoted, we were more excited with our walk with Jesus than we are today, then it's very likely that we are in a backslidden state. We call it backslide. Think about it. If we were here at one point, the closest you could ever imagine being to God, but now we're even here.
Maybe you're way down here.
But whatever level down we are, we've gone down. You see? Think about that. We'll talk about it. Now, Jesus continues, just to finish up. But if that's the case, and we've backslidden, in a sense, we're not where we used to be, we're not experiencing God the way we used to at one point in time in our life, then this is what the Lord tells us to do. Remember, therefore, from where you have fallen. You see? Even if it's one step. Where was it that you had fallen? Repent and do the first works. Do those things that you were doing before. Seeking Him. Enjoying Him. Seeking where He may be found. I don't know what you were doing. I can remember what I was doing when it was so simple. I just wanted to be with Jesus. But we get so caught up. So many things pull us down away from Him. You see? And there's obviously a warning there too. It would be very well for us to take a very close look at our lives and determine where it is, what it is that is keeping us from that place of seeing His glory. Being in His presence. Are there walls? Are there people in your way? Are there seat belts holding you down? Are there inconveniences? What is it? What is keeping us from being close to the Lord again, or even for the first time? In the book of Hebrews, says this, "Therefore we must give the most earnest heed to the things we have heard, lest we drift away." Drift away. It's an apt description of backsliding. It's a slow process, you see. Think about the tide and being out there. And you're just swimming in the ocean like I was in Hawaii. Don't get jealous. And it was wonderful. But if you're not careful, before you know it, the tide will just take you away. You see? And it happens so subtly, so effortlessly. All you have to do is just float around. Before you know it, you're taken way out. You see? Unless you have a fixed point of reference, a fixed point of reference, it will become very easy to drift far out to sea. You see, when we used to go swimming at the beach, we would always remember what lifeguard station number we were at. I'm from California. We used to do that a lot. Okay. And you'd have lifeguard station number 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. I mean, big beaches in California, all the way up to 30 sometimes. And if you're swimming at lifeguard station number 2, and you're not paying attention, before you know it, you come out of the water and you go looking for your stuff, and you're at lifeguard station 15. It's happened to me. I'm talking from experience. And I didn't remember what lifeguard station I was at. So I'm walking down the beach. Where's my stuff? It took me forever to find it, you see? That can happen to us if we don't have a fixed point of reference. Let me tell you something. The Bible is our fixed point of reference. The Seychelles is our fixed point of reference. If we don't know where it is, if we're not fixed upon it, we can so easily drift away and not even realize how far, far away we really are. You see? It happens so subtly, so easily. Our sins will entangle us. They will pull us away out to sea, leaving us into captivity. You see, a man begins his process of backsliding when there are any other interests in his life or her life that become greater or more important than their interests for God Himself. You see, we've talked about this. It could be your career. It can be your hobbies. It can be your relationships, right? It can be so many things. It could even be ministry. For those of us who are in full-time ministry, I'm speaking, and even for some of you who are serving every week, some of you know, but I've been really pushing for the servants to sit down and take a break. Even Pastor Dan, he was supposed to have the day off, but to sit down and receive, you see? Because we have children's ministry servants who never get to come into the sanctuary. We have the worship team who's up here all the time. When do the servants get to receive, you see? So that's a little nudge that we need more help. But anyways, the point is, well, even Martha, you guys remember the story. You know, Martha was so distracted with much serving. You guys remember the story. She's saying, "Jesus, tell Mary to come help me with all the serving," right? And Jesus says, "Martha, Martha, you're distracted with much serving, right? But you see, Mary, she had the good part that would not be taken away from her. Drawing close to God, being at His feet, desiring to be in His presence, you see. That's the good part that will never be taken away from us, no matter where we are. No matter where we are, it's a heart thing. Now, again, when we start spending more time thinking about and doing things, right? Spending more time even doing the things of God rather than spending time with the God of all things. You see, we can be in big trouble. Big trouble. And so, the Bible really calls this idolatry, is what it's called. We talked about it when we went through 1 John. I know they've been going through it in the book of Galatians in the morning. Right? It's called idolatry. Anyone or anything that comes before God can very easily become our God. And that's called idolatry. You see? When we spend more time developing these things than we do with our relationship with God, that's when we begin to backslide, you see. Even though it's justified. It's for you, God. I'm doing this for you, God. I'm doing that for you, God. Well, you know what? In Matthew 7:21, all these guys said to Jesus, "Didn't we do these things in your name?" And He said, "Away from me, you evildoers. I never knew you." We talked about this. It's a personal relationship with God is the key. It's not even about what we do for Him. You see? Although we should, and we want to, and it's a joy to, we got to be careful not to allow those things to take the place of spending time with Him and be the reason why we're doing those things. Now, notice this. In Deuteronomy, once again, but from there, and I spent a lot of time talking about from there, and especially the ministry part, because like I said, this message is for me. But perhaps it's for you too. From that place of captivity, wherever it is that has taken you away from God, whatever it is, whatever has come between you and the Lord, whatever that place is in your life, no matter how short or how far away, if you will seek the Lord, your God, you will find Him. If you seek Him with all your heart and with all your soul. It's a promise, you see. Now, I don't want you to think, and even for myself, that we can take God's grace for granted. Don't think that we can take God's grace for granted. You see, oftentimes, when we sin and we fall short, let me tell you, not oftentimes, all the time, there's consequences to our sin. You see? And those times that we backslide in our faith and in our heart, oftentimes the way back to God isn't as easy. You see? Many times, the deliverance. When we first come to Christ, it's so easy. Oh man, it's so easy. We come to Jesus and He just forgives us of all of our sins, right? Just like that. But it's not often the case when we already know the God, our God. It's much harder in a sense. Let me explain to you. A person coming to Jesus for the first time, if you're here today and you don't know Jesus and you have all kinds of sins and things you've done wrong, Jesus just forgives you just like that. Easy. Why? Because there's freedom in ignorance. That's why. There's freedom in ignorance. I didn't know. I was lost, but hey, now I'm found. I was blind, but wow, now I can see, right? Very easy to come to Jesus for the first time and be forgiven of everything because you didn't know any better. You see? But for those of us who know, I was found. I know where I'm supposed to be, but I decided to go get lost. I can see. I've seen His glory. I know the Scriptures, but I'm going to go pretend to be blind to them. You see, it's not as easy. We know better. We know better. Don't be deceived. Although the Lord forgives us of our sin, He forgives us. No doubt. We know that. We, personally, as humans, we have the tendency to remember our sin, don't we? We know God forgives us. We know that. But we can't forget what we've done. And that's what so often inhibits us from returning to that place of fellowship with God. It's our own sin. It's our own shame. We know that God forgives us. We know that. But we can't forgive ourselves sometimes. And oh Lord, I know You forgive me, but I have trouble even facing You because I'm so ashamed. That's what happens to us. And God's just like, hey, I've forgiven you. Don't worry about it. But there's still that guilt and shame we hold on to, even though He wants to set us free from it. And we are free from it. He can forgive. We just can't forget. And because of it, it keeps us from fellowship with God. You see, there's consequences to our sin. We can't take His grace for granted. And those things that we deal with, even though in God's sight we're totally forgiven, those things keep us from God and keep us from seeking Him. And I think we'd all be lying if we didn't feel that. Sometimes we say, I don't want to go to church today because I'm a sinner. I'm a loser. I don't want to go and play church and say, hi everybody, I'm so happy, hallelujah. When I know deep in my heart, I shouldn't even be here. And I'm teaching. God will use the wicked things sometimes. He forgives us, you see. He loves us. He doesn't want us to hang our head low. That's condemnation. That's from the enemy. There's therefore no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. And we know that. And we believe it. We just need to pray, Lord, I believe. Help me with my unbelief. Notice here, Deuteronomy 4:29. But from there, once again, from that place that you find yourself, maybe your depression, maybe your guilt, maybe your shame, wherever it may be, it's going to be harder, not because the Lord is putting any constraints, it's because of ourselves. But even from whatever state you are in, the promise is still there for us. He's faithful and just to wash us and cleanse us of all unrighteousness. 1 John 1:9. But the promise is still true. If we seek Him, you will find Him. If you seek Him with all of your heart and all your soul. If we want to be restored, we must seek Him with all of our hearts and souls. It means we need to do whatever it takes to get back to that place. It means sometimes we need to cry out like David cried out. Lord, do not cast me away from Your presence. And do not take Your Holy Spirit from me. Oh, He won't. But we feel like David does sometimes, don't we? Right? We know that He's not ever going to leave us nor forsake us. We know, but we feel like David did. And that's our prayer sometimes. It means we need to cry out for more and more of the Lord like Moses did. When he cried out, please, Lord, show me Your glory. Now, understand this word glory, it's the word kabod in the Hebrew. And it means basically weight, heaviness, substance is what the word literally means, but it's always used in Scripture as a reference to the presence of God, the glory. Here's a heaviness. Back in the old hippie days, they used to say, man, that's heavy, right? It meant awesome, sugoi, right? Just amazing. There's a heaviness to the glory of God. Okay? It's the same thing that Adam and Eve enjoyed in the garden before they fell into sin. It was the glory that actually clothed them and gave them a deep just satisfaction and contentment with the Lord. But you see, when they sinned, the glory departed, the presence of the Lord departed from them, and they are aware that they were, what? Naked, right? Or we can say today, empty. They realized they were naked, they were empty. And today, without exception, there's an emptiness in the heart of man, right? That we're trying to clothe ourselves with to cover up that nakedness, that emptiness. We try to clothe it with different things. But we know that it's the Spirit of God that we really long for. And that's why we're here. Because these things, the works, the relationships, the success, those things don't fill us. But it's the Spirit of God. It's the presence of God. It's the glory of God, you see, is what we're all longing for. And this is why Moses cried out, please show me your glory. Moses simply wanted more and more of the Lord. Now, this was God's reply to Moses. He said in Exodus 33:19, and I'm just looking at the A part here. Then he said, I will make all my goodness pass before you, and I'll proclaim the name of the Lord before you. Okay? These first two responses are actually the same for God's nature. His nature and God's and his goodness are the same, you see? God's name is his nature, and God's nature is his goodness. Okay, I'll say that again. God's name is his nature. And God's nature, the nature of God, is his goodness. Now, he continues, I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and I will have compassion on whom I have compassion. But he said, you cannot see my face, for no man shall see me and live. Okay? Notice, no man can see God and live. Listen to what Paul the Apostle said concerning the Lord, concerning God. He says, who alone has immortality, dwelling in unapproachable light, whom no man has seen or can see, to whom be honor and everlasting power. Amen. John also concurs. He says, no one has seen God at any time, right? And he continues to say, no one has seen God at any time. We've heard this over and over in Scripture. So the New Testament affirms what the Lord said anyways to Moses, that no one has seen God or can see God, you see? And so his greatness and his power is just overwhelming. Right? It'll destroy us. Well, if that's the case, why did Moses ask to see his glory? Why do we sing songs like, open the eyes of my heart, Lord, I want to see you so I can die? We don't sing that part, do we? Why do we sing these songs then, right? But that's exactly the point. So that we might die. I'm not talking about literally. But I'm talking about those things that we need to die to. that come between us and the Lord, you see. Something happens when we see the Lord. When we're in the presence of the Lord, all these things just fade away, right? And I want all these things that are keeping me from Him to die. Show me Your glory, God. Let all the seat belts just fade away. Now, our flesh, our sinful tendencies, if you will, these are the things that need to die. And that's why I want to see Him more. I want to experience Him more. I want to seek Him where He may be found. You see? So I might be free. That I might be set free from those things that keep me from Him. That keep me from experiencing His presence in our lives. So, it brings up a question then. Why is it that sometimes we read in the stories, the scriptures, in the Old Testament, when people actually encounter the Lord, right? Like Abraham and Jacob and Daniel and Isaiah, they saw God, right? Remember Jacob, he wrestled with God, it said. What happens? These scriptures that we read about, where they're actually having conversations with God. You see? It's a big theological kind of question in a sense. Are they contradictions? Because the Bible's clear, if you see God, you're going to die. But the Old Testament has a lot about these guys conversing with God. But they're not dying, right? And so, are they contradictions? No, they're not contradictions. You see, when people encounter the Lord, either it be post-resurrection, or whether it be pre-incarnation, if you will. These are what theologians call Christophanies. Okay? Christophanies. Appearances of Jesus. Pre-incarnation, post-resurrection. Okay? Now, let's get on. I don't want to get all theological on you. But Jesus, point being, appears throughout the Bible. Okay? Throughout the Bible, we see Jesus. Here's just to give an example. John 8:56, Jesus said to some of the Jews who opposed Him, they said, "Your father Abraham rejoiced to see My day, and he saw it and was glad." Then the Jews said to Him, "You're not yet 50 years old, and have you seen Abraham?" And Jesus said to them, "Most assuredly I say to you, before Abraham was, I am." Now, this is a very deep scripture we don't have time to get into. But God Himself, He basically knew them then and revealed Himself then as He does today through the person of Christ. But Jesus is also seen in the Old Testament symbolically as well. Notice our text here as we've been going through it. In Exodus 33:21, "And the Lord said, 'Here is a place by Me, and you shall stand on the rock.'" Oh, some of you already know where we're going with this. "The rock, so it shall be while My glory passes by, when I put you in the cleft of the rock and will cover you with My hand while I pass by. Then I will take away My hand and you shall see My back, but My face shall not be seen." Okay? In verse 21, God told Moses to stand on the rock that was near him. The rock is often used in reference to the Lord in the Old Testament. Notice, for example, Psalm 62:2, "He only is My rock and My salvation. He is My defense. He shall not be greatly moved." Over and over, so many scriptures talk about the rock as the Lord. But this case, God's saying, I'm going to put you in the rock near me, right? Paul the Apostle, for example, he tells us that the rock was actually Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians 10:4, and all drank that same spiritual drink, for they drank of the spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. You see? So God told Moses to stand on the rock that was near him. To stand upon the rock is symbolic of coming to Christ and putting your trust in him. As God's glory passed by, he put Moses in the cleft of the rock, and it was symbolic of the fact that we are to be in Christ. We are to be in Christ, you see. It is God the Father who positions us in Christ, adopting us as his children, you see. This is the place where God's glory is revealed and received, is when we're in Christ today, for now. Now, is there something stopping you from experiencing the glorious presence of the Lord in your life? What's keeping you and I from Jesus? Are there walls? Are there people? Are there seat belts? Are there inconveniences? What is it? Are any of those things worth it when it's all said and done? You see, it's your choice. And it's my choice. They can only stop you. They can only tie you down. They can only get in your way if you let them. If you let them. If you let them. If I let them. We can't blame anybody or anything. What's keeping us from God? I'll tell you what's keeping us from God. It's ourselves. It's ourselves, folks. But even from there, let me close with this. Wherever that place may be that's keeping you from the Lord, if you will seek him, you will find him. If you seek him with all your heart and with all your soul, let's pray. Father, thank you for this time. And Lord, I know you're speaking to many of us today. I know you've spoken to me, and maybe this message is just for me. But I cannot help to think that there's people here today that need to draw closer to you. And Lord, maybe today, this little analogy of Amy in the plane for some reason, all that happened just so we can speak about this topic today. Because there's perhaps people that are far from you, your children that you love, that you want to be close to, that you want to reveal yourself to. But we're so busy. We're so caught up. There's so many things tying us down. It's too inconvenient for us. We've become lackadaisical, Lord. We've become perhaps even religious in our faith. But Lord, we know it has nothing to do with that. It has everything to do with having a personal, loving relationship with you. And that comes from our heart's desire to be with you. As Moses cried out, Lord, please, please, Lord, show me your glory. Reveal yourself to me. Help me be in your presence more and more. As Moses desired more of you, Lord, I echo that prayer today. I desire more of you, Father. Please forgive me of my sins. And if you're here today And you have that desire too. And I'm not alone. Maybe I'm the only one here. But if you have been far away from God today, and you desire to be closer to Him, then just ask Him. Make that your prayer today. Lord, show me your glory. Bring me back to my first love. And cry out to Him. And if you seek Him with all your heart, He will be found by you. But you may have to go the extra effort. Seeking is a lot more than just asking. You have to make that effort. And I don't know what that effort is in your life, but I know what God's speaking to me in my life. Lord, speak to our hearts. Bring us back to that place where we can see your glory. Show us your glory, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. God bless you.